Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. APSATS is a nonprofit organization providing professional training and compassionate support to partners affected by problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. In each episode, Dr. Jake guides a conversation of enlightening insights and practical tools to empower those affected by sex addiction and betrayal trauma to use their voices and live their values. The mission of Betrayal Recovery Radio is to offer hope to those in need of healing and growth to those moving through grief. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jake Porter.
Welcome to another episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio. I am your host, Dr. Jake Porter. It is great to have you with us today. Today, we're going to be talking about the issue of integrity, how important it is to develop integrity for oneself, one's partner, and their relationship, specifically after the discovery of hidden betrayal. My guest today is Michelle Diet. Welcome. And Michelle is a certified coach through the International Coach Federation. She is an APSATS certified betrayal trauma coach. She works with couples, with sex addicts, with partners from all across the country. She facilitates groups and runs courses for men dealing with specifically deceptive sexuality, integrity abuse disorder, and she uses Dr. Omar Manwala's model, deceptive sexuality and trauma. For couples that desire to do their recovery work together, she merges together Dr. Manwala's model with Carol Sheets' early recovery couples empathy model, or with the Gottmans' work, in order to support each client where they are. But at the core of Michelle's work is the APSATS multidimensional partner trauma model. Michelle does all kind of great stuff, 4, 8, 12, 16-week courses and groups available for sex addicts, and these are for men who want to establish a new life foundation built on integrity, truth, and honesty, and she's actually working on a new offering coming up soon for sex addicts to do their preparation work for a healthy therapeutic disclosure. You'll really enjoy my time in this conversation with Michelle. She's a very talented and skilled individual, very passionate about the work she does. And this issue of integrity is of utmost importance to those in recovery from this work. And so sit back and enjoy my conversation with Michelle. Welcome, Michelle. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here as well.
Yes. Well, I've been looking forward to this time with you, talking to you. It's been great to get to know you professionally. And I'm really excited about our conversation today and talking about the importance of developing integrity for oneself and one's partner and one's relationship. And I just want to jump right in. What is life integrity? What do you mean by that? And why is that important for sex addicts?
Okay. Well, the basic meaning comes from, you know, Webster's dictionary, the quality of being honest, you know, having strong morals or, you know, living in uprightness, right? It's the state of, say, being whole, being undivided in every area of your life, right? It's right. Living in congruence with your values and your moral principles. You know, that's the way that life integrity, you know, that's what it means to be in life integrity, to actually live by that and be whole.
Be whole. Yeah. I often tell my clients that word integrity means integrated, right? Like one whole. And so can you say a little bit about that specifically to the issue of sex addiction and why it's so important for sex addicts?
Well, I think that it's important for sex addicts because a lot of times they're divided within themselves, right?
Yes.
Their acting out behaviors is going against what they normally believe or what they think they believe, right? Their moral standards, their values. And so it's not in congruence. And so you have this division of who they are when people are looking and then who they are behind that closed door.
Right.
So there's a division there that living in, say, that secret world that nobody else knows about. That's not living in life integrity.
Right. Right. Thank you. And then you also talk about how it's important, not just for them individually, but for the coupleship. Can you say more about that? Why is it so important for the relationship?
Well, I think that life integrity is important for the relationship because it establishes a standard, right? And it also establishes what you can expect. I think that if you're in a relationship with somebody that you, if you respect them and if you love them, then you have to tell them the truth. You know, if you are not able to do that, then how much are you loving? How much are you respecting, you know, their humanity? Because they should be informed. They should have that information to be able to make some life altering decisions. And if that's being withheld from them, then do you really respect them as a human being? Wow. If you're going to withhold that information that would actually help them to make decisions that will be in their best interest.
Right. Okay. So now I'm thinking, I'm channeling some of the sex addicted clients that I've worked with before. Okay. And I'm thinking about what they might say to you if you say that to them. And what if they say something like, well, no, really, I think that if she knows this information, it will hurt her. It will, you know, I want to protect her from what I've done. I don't want to hurt her with knowing what I've done.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, right? But the truth of the matter is that it hurts her not knowing. You're taking away her right to choose. Mm. That's dishonoring her. It's violating her human rights. It's violating her as a human being. And so the primary issue is not about it hurting her. It's about you keeping the secret, right?
Right.
Because you're putting what would be comfortable for you over what it is that she really needs. She needs to have the information so she can make a decision. And you would be robbing her of that ability to do that by not telling her.
Yeah.
It's a violation.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is it's a matter of justice. It's a matter of what's right. So if I'm withholding that from my partner, if I'm withholding information from my partner, I'm disempowering them from making choices.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And what about, and I mean, it's obvious, you know, we just talked about this, how integrity on the part of the one with the addiction is important for the partner. But what about the actual healing process of the partner? So after a partner's discovered, what does the life integrity of the addicted partner have to do with the healing of the betrayed partner? Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, I believe that it really helps to make some repairs, right, of the damage. It helps to rebuild that safety net, right, or that bridge, right, when you're coming at it from a place of truth and honesty and integrity. So now the person can start to see that they can trust you, that you are concerned about their safety. You're concerned about the stability of the relationship, right? But without that, it's not there. Mm. It's not there. You're still serving yourself. You're not really vested in actually what is going to be beneficial for the partner.
Wow.
Okay. And that's what you want to be able to communicate to them, that I'm a safe person, that I'm willing to repair the net, the safety net, because I damaged it. It's your responsibility as a sex addict to actually do that. It's not hers. It's yours.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say in part is maybe like sobriety alone is not enough.
Oh, I'm absolutely saying that.
Oh, what? Sobriety alone's not enough?
It's not enough. No, it's
not. Can you say more about that?
You know, I mean, refraining from the acting out behaviors, that's one thing. But when you talk about everything that went into the, say, the secret basement, right? It's more than that. It's the lying. It's the manipulation. It's the deception. It's the emotional distancing, right? It is withholding those life altering, you know, information that she needs to know. So it's all of those things that actually went in there. So when we talk about life integrity, we're talking about refraining from those behaviors. Mm. Okay. That actually shattered her world, right? That actually played with her reality, that played with her mind, because she thought one thing and it was not real. It was not true. It did not exist.
Wow.
Okay. Because of those patterns of harm, those patterns of behavior, wow. You know? And so, yeah, sobriety is not enough. It's actually, you have to lay a new foundation, and at the foundation, the base of it, it has to be truth, you know? And I would tell the guys, you know, truth at all costs. Okay. So yeah, she might get mad. she might get upset. It might cause her to leave. But if you want to be a man of integrity, it requires you to tell the truth at all costs. And that integrity is even when nobody's watching, nobody's expecting it, nobody's coming to quiz you about it, right? You stepping forward and saying, well, this is what happened. This is what went on. So being willing to actually do that, even if it's not a comfortable place to be in.
Yeah. There's a line from a book that a lot of my clients have read and gotten a lot out of. It's Worthy of Her Trust by Jason Martinkus. And in that book, he talks about having to get to a place where you can honestly say you'd rather lose her than lie to her.
Absolutely. That's exactly the sentiment.
Yeah.
That's exactly that's, it.
And you know what? I say that to some of my clients and it scares them to death. It scares them to death. Yeah. I want to go backwards to something that you said a few minutes ago when we were talking about how and why this is helpful for the addict and for the relationship. And so how does life integrity help someone who's in recovery from sex addiction connect with the humanity of others? That's what I heard you say, that phrase, connecting with the humanity of others. Can you say more about what you mean by that and how that works?
Well, you know, as human beings, we all have rights, right? And it's the right to be respected, the right to dignity, you know, not to be abused. And so walking in this integrity actually helps them to reconnect on that level because it is abusive, you know, with those integrity abuse disorder behaviors. It is abuse. It's psychological. It's emotional. It's underneath the category of domestic violence, you know, or relational violence. It's abusive because you're playing with somebody's mind. You're playing with their reality. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is not something that you do when you respect somebody's humanity.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. You honor their humanity. Okay. By telling them the truth, by having respect for them. Okay.
Yeah.
By giving them all the information that they need to make a decision. By connecting with them. Okay. And so by walking in and living this life of integrity, it allows you to do that. But it's not just a performance, right? It's not a performance. It's actually embodying that. So it becomes at the core of who you are. So you're embracing that as a core value.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're showing up, you are a person of integrity, right? And that's what makes the difference. If you're just going to act it, pretend about it, then you're not ready for this.
Wow.
You're not ready.
So let's say we've got someone listening, someone who is maybe at the beginning stages of recovery from sex addiction. And they're thinking, well, yeah, I want this. This sounds good. I want this. What sort of blocks or challenges might they expect to encounter as they're getting started in this?
Oh, wow. There are a few. Blocks or challenges when it comes to living a life of integrity. The shame, you know, battling with shame and being shamed, you know, because there are some phrases or statements that the partner might say to you or others might say to you that can be very shaming, right? It also your negative self-talk, right? The thoughts that you have about yourself and what you did can also become a block for you with that. Sometimes family can be, you know, a stumbling block for you. If you don't have the proper supports around you to keep you encouraged, that will help you to be able to see your progress. You know, having the wrong focus. If all you're seeing is the negatives, but you're not seeing the positive advancements that you're making and you're not able to celebrate those can be a block for you as well.
I want to dig into some of these you've just listed. Let's start with that last one. Just focusing on the negative, because I've heard guys say, and this may tie actually to the first one you mentioned, shame. I've heard guys say, well, who am I to celebrate doing good things? I've done all these bad things. You know, I can't focus on that. I need to focus on these negative things. And I've heard partners say similar things well.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, what I'm supposed to be throwing a party, you know, because of this or that. But I agree with you that that's super important to focus on the positive changes and the growth that's in place. Can you say more about that? Maybe a little bit to the addict, but then maybe a little bit to the partner as well.
I believe in energy, right?
Okay.
I believe in energy. Yeah. Everything is energy, right? The thoughts, the feelings, you know, they're all energetic. And so they actually attract what it is that we give out. We attract what we give out. If we are actually vibrating on that negative spectrum, all we're going to invite into our spirit is the negative. And then it's going to just keep manifesting and compounding. But if we can actually vibrate or release more positive thoughts, more positive feelings, then it's going to actually attract that. Okay. Mm. So we're going to get what we're giving out. And so I encourage them to try to do a shift. You know, why produce the negative? You don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay. What would give you what it is that you're looking for? Okay. So whether it's say gratitude or thankfulness or appreciation, being able to vibe on that level will actually help you to attract more into your sphere. Okay. And it can actually help influence the other, right? The partner with that. Because if you're vibrating in that negative realm, she's going to keep vibrating in that negative realm. And so we have a negative whole atmosphere going on here, mm-hmm. Which is not going to be helpful for healthy recovery.
For you either know? One
so
of them.
So if you're actually able to change that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you can actually attract what you need. Okay. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you start to live a lie. No. You know, like recently, one of the guys that was in my group, he was sharing, you know, that no matter what he does, right, this is going to be the outcome. And his partner told him, no matter what you do around this situation, this is going to be, you know, my response until this situation is over. And so you see that there's a negativity going around with that. And they are in this atmosphere of negativity. And what I said is what I'm hearing is truthfulness. She's telling you truthfully what it is that she's feeling. And you're telling her truthfully updates about the circumstance. And so there is this truthful atmosphere that's being generated. And so how can you use a positive statement with that? I'm thankful that she is walking in truth. I'm thankful that I'm walking in truth. I'm thankful that we're growing in truth. Wow. I'm thankful that truth is our foundation.
Wow. Wow. Simple Great as that. Reframe. Great reframe. And, you know, I want to, just in case any of our listeners or viewers are going, what's this energy stuff she's talking about? I just want to back you up on it because, well, seriously. So if people don't know, my doctoral research was on this thing called affective social neurobiology, which is where we've all had this experience when you walk in a room and you immediately are like, well, I just walked in on something here, know, like, what is happening? Or the reverse, it could be a really great, happy, and you feel it in your body.
Our
nervous systems are literally designed to pick up on the feeling state of other nervous systems.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's something real here that you're talking about. And I love that you're bringing it up because I think a lot of people are afraid to go there. That what I put out, you know, here's the way I often say it to folks. And I always tell couples when I'm working with them, I say, all right, you who did the betraying, it's on you to lead the way in making this change. Mm-hmm. And the change is this. You're not just responsible for what you say. You're responsible for how you say it, your tone of voice, the look of your face, that energy Absolutely. That you're putting out.
Yes. Yes.
That's a game changer.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I think it connects. Sorry, I'm just having these light bulbs go off. It does connect with this topic that you're bringing to us today of life integrity, because like you said earlier, in that moment, when you do that, in that moment, mm-hmm. you are congruent with your values.
Yes.
It's powerful. Woo. That's powerful. Sorry. Okay. So, let's see. How about like default patterns, right? Default patterns in that we all have, we all walk into relationships with them. How do we try to start like becoming aware of those and changing those so that we can be more congruent with our values?
Well, I think that the default patterns, really, you have to notice what they are. You know, what are those things that usually happen or usually go before, right? So being aware of that is helpful, you know.
Yeah.
Repeat for me the question again, because I want to make sure that I answer it thoroughly.
Sure. So, you know, we've talked about shame, right? And the role that shame can play, the role that that energy can play as a challenge to life integrity. But we all come with these ingrained patterns of how we show up in relationships, stuff probably learned from our childhood, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm asking is, how can people, two parts, start to become aware of those default mm-hmm. patterns and then start to change them and shift them to become more congruent with their values, to move more into integrity?
Well, I think that slowing down.
There you go.
is one way of being able to do that, slowing down and then really taking time to sit back and reflect, you know, what was really going on here? Mm-hmm. What was I feeling, you know, and being honest about that. And I think that for sex addicts, it's important for them to really connect with that feeling, because a lot of times that avoidance of what it is that they're feeling opens the way for things to keep going in a default pattern, right? Keep happening. But if they actually stop and say, well, this is really what I was feeling at the moment, and they start to accept that they're a human being and that they're entitled to have those feelings, right? There's nothing wrong with that, you know, because there's a lot of shaping that has gone on with men.
Yeah.
Where they get the message, you're not supposed to have this or that. You're not supposed to feel this or that, you know, and it really makes them seem like they're more robots, right, than a human being. And it's important for them to be able to connect with their own human beingness, right, that they have feelings and that there was a pattern of harm that they experienced when they were taught how to be a man, you know, in this man box kind of stuff, you know. That they don't have to continue to embrace that. They can actually change that. So even being able to define for themselves, what does manhood look like for me?
Mm.
What is the type of man that I want to be?
Right.
Okay. What are the characteristics that I want to have or I want to embody for myself? Yeah. What are those values that are going to actually help me to sustain, you know, a man of integrity? To be this man of integrity, you know, but you have to be aware of those things first before you can actually make a decision as to whether or not they're serving you or not. And so being able to do that is key, right?
Yeah. So this is something we're talking about a lot today. Values. This keeps coming up in our conversation.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of people have never really like sat and intentionally thought about their core values. How do you help people who've never, they've never really done values work? They've never really thought about their own core values. How do you help them get started in that?
Well, usually I use a values tool, you know,
sure.
And then ask them to actually identify those things that jump out at them, right?
So we're talking just like a list. So they could get on Google. They could just Google list of core values.
And
probably find a list. Mm-hmm. And you're saying go through that list and see what jumps out.
Yeah, see what jumps out initially, you know, and then but the list that I actually give them, it has one column where, okay, how well do you rate this? Right.
Ooh.
How high do you rate this?
Ooh.
And then how well are you living this? So it's a comparison, because a lot of times people are shocked that something that they value highly, they're not living it very highly. Mm.
Yeah. I was just at first I was thinking, oh, send me that. But then I thought, no, don't send me that. I don't want to look at that. I might find some gaps.
That's exactly what it does. Right. It does expose, because what we think sometimes is really not the way that we're living. We're not living in congruence with what it is that we say that we value, you know. So a person might value, say, commitment, right, into a relationship. But then how are you really living it? If we're talking about the sex addict, you know, it might be at a one or a zero. I'm not really living that. But yet, if somebody was to ask me, I'm saying I value commitment, you know, right there. That discrepancy is an area for us to look at. Right. So this way we can actually get them more aligned.
Okay, so say they do that. Let's roll with that example of commitment. So they've identified, no, I say I value commitment and I recognize I'm not actually living that. Okay, now what?
The question is, what do you want to do? Right? Ooh. How does this sit with you? Right? This discrepancy. Okay. What would you envision for yourself? What do you want your future to look like? Okay. So we would go through that to find out where they're at, because some people might be okay with that, you know, that discrepancy. And that's totally fine. But then there's others, it's not. I want to be able to live this value. Okay.
Right.
So then what do we need to put in place for you to be able to do that, for it to be able to manifest for you?
Yeah. Wow. And we're talking about like the little things too here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the big things.
No, it's not.
The little daily things. Because when I'm doing this sort of values work with my clients, they often, their mind goes to the big stuff.
Yeah.
Not acting out, right? Keeping my promise on follow-up polygraphs or whatever it is. But what they don't think about is, you know, I said I would handle dinner once a week.
You and, know? you know?
I actually hadn't done that in like 3 weeks. And that really matters to betrayed partners.
Yes, it does.
And it's not really about dinner, is it?
Nope. Honoring your word. Keeping your word.
Yeah.
Being a person that they can trust, right?
Right.
With those small things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Are building blocks.
Yeah. They are. They are. Mm-hmm. They add up. They speak volumes. Absolutely. Over time. That's really good stuff. Really good stuff. Let me ask you this. What's the hard truth that both the person with the sex addiction and the partner who's been betrayed really has to face?
Oh, wow. The hard truth is that the partner has been abused by their spouse or their boyfriend, right? That they have been abused by this person. For the sex addict, it's really acknowledging that I've been abuser, that I've been abusive to my partner. Okay. Mm. That's a hard truth. And a lot of times it's very difficult for them to swallow that, right? To deal with that reality, but that's what it is.
Yeah. That feels like a really strong word. And they
yes,
might go,
it is.
But I provide, and I've actually, you know, and yeah, I always do this, and I go to every baseball game, and we do Disney World every year, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know.
I think this is really important to, I want to be really clear on what I think you're saying. So tweak this if it's different. You're specifically focusing on the acting out as a distortion of the betrayed partner's reality. It's hidden. And so you're messing with their mind, right? With their sense of reality. We're talking about the gaslighting, right?
Yeah. It's all those behaviors, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all those behaviors that the sex addict uses to be able to establish, to maintain, and then to protect their secret world, their secret basement. It's all that stuff, because you have to go through extremes to be able to maintain this thing, right?
Oh,
to
sure.
Keep it hidden for so long.
Absolutely.
Okay? So all of that is playing with her, because a lot of times the partner actually has a gut sense that something's wrong. She can't put her finger. When we talk about energy, let's bring that back, right? She's picking up on these vibes. She's getting that message. She knows something's not
something's
right. She's
off.
Asking the questions. And he's lying. He's deceiving, right? He's manipulating. He's blaming her, right? He's acting like he's the victim. He does the Darvo, right? So all this stuff is going on. And what happens is that she chooses to believe him over what's going on in her own gut, right? In her second brain. That's the damage. So now that he's caused a disconnect with herself.
Wow.
Okay. Because of what he's been doing, how he's been manipulating, how he's been playing with that. Okay. That's why it's abusive. Because in a real sense, she has an enemy within herself, right? Because she's not believing her own self that is actually there to protect her.
Oh, an enemy within herself. That is powerfully said, my friend. Wow. Yeah. Because she's been so twisted by the gaslighting and by choosing to believe him over her own gut. Wow. Yeah.
Because she overrode that. She overrode that, and it was there to protect her. Look out for her.
Right.
That's her early warning system, right?
Yeah.
Oh, something's not right here. And yet she chose to believe him over her own system.
Wow. And so, you know, I just want to pause and I want to say to anyone who's listening, who did the betraying, you're the one who was believed over your partner's own body. Just think about that. Pause and think about, yeah, that this person loved you enough to believe you and your words over her own gut. That's a heavy truth right there. That's a really heavy truth. Wow. Thank you, Michelle. So how does that begin to get healed?
Well, it takes us back, right? Full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Being a person of integrity, right? Uh-huh. Telling the truth. Okay. Even when it's difficult.
Yeah.
Even when it's not comfortable. Even when there might be pushback, right?
Right.
Even when you know she might just go off on you. Telling the truth. Okay.
And you know, with the couples I see, one of the first places that happens is in the disclosure process. And the way we do disclosures, we allow, in fact, we kind of coach and prepare the partner, not kind of, we in fact do coach and prepare the partner to think about those times that she remembers going against her gut. And that's what you ask about. And so it's weird because sometimes they're not asking about these big things you would anticipate. They're saying, hey, that night when you said you were staying late for that work meeting, it was the night that, you know, our son had that ball game and our daughter was getting ready for the dance recital. And you told me, was that true? Because we want them to regain trust in their own guts.
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that sometimes though, forgive me, I'm kind of going off script here. So just see what you think of about this.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes though, what happens then is the partner feels shame. I was a fool to believe him over myself. How do you help partners with that shame?
You know, I think that there is no shame when you love somebody.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, she loved him enough that she gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
You know, and that's not something to be ashamed of, you know, that she trusted him. Okay. This doesn't mean that you were a fool. It means that you believed him, that you loved him. And that's okay.
Right. Oh, that's beautifully said. Thank you, Michelle. Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about what you do and how you actually help folks move through this. Can you share a little bit about both the group work and the individual work that you do that helps carry folks through this process?
Okay. Well, the group work is really a course that I do, Life Integrity. And I usually help the guys to go through the process of Menwala's model, the deceptive sexuality and trauma model, where we're actually identifying those patterns of harm, getting them to look at the partner's point of view, to be able to connect with themselves, you know, as well as for them to start designing the kind of man they want to be, you know. So we use Menwala's model as an overview, but then I design certain tools that actually helps us to really get at the nitty gritty, okay, for them to actually start to face some things and then make some decisions about how they want their lives to look going forward, okay, where they are able to start to, say, connect with their own humanity, where we do some emotional work, right? Their own humanity, but then also looking at things from the partner's perspective so that way they can connect with her on a humanitarian level. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's important for them to be able to do that. And sometimes it can be very difficult for them to see that or hear that stuff. Recently I put together a video, with partners' voices. All right. And I plan to share that with them in the next group, right? For them to really be able to sit with that. But a couple of the people who got to see it already, it was hard. It was hard because they're recognizing, I did that. That's what I did to my partner. you know, and sometimes it's easier for them to take that in when they're seeing somebody else rather than their own partner because it's too close to home. It's like, so there's something that like blocks them from being able to really process that, but they need to. They need to go there because being able to hear her pain, you're going to be able to understand just the extent of the damage that was done. And it could help to encourage you and help you to strengthen your commitment and your resolve that I am going to do what it takes to really help her heal, you know, and that's important, you know. And yeah. So we have to get rid of the defenses, right? You know, right. Those blocks. We right. have to get rid of that and we have to get in there because you need to be able to really sense, get a felt sense of what it is that she's going through.
And I imagine that that work you're describing is particularly powerful when it's done in a group. Even though a lot of folks would probably, I also imagine, might be resistant to doing it in a group because of their own fear and shame. I bet it's really powerful to see a group work through those things together.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Because you have camaraderie. You have the support, you know, and you don't have to wear a mask. Right. Oh. So the problem that got them here is because they were wearing masks. They were pretending, right? They were not being their authentic self. And in this space, now you can show your real self. You can actually talk about those real emotions. And I mean, and it's okay. There's no judgment in there, right? So if you're feeling resentful, resentment is welcome. Come on in, right? We can work through that. But what is required is that if you're going to be a man of integrity, it starts here. That means there's no lying to the group.
Right.
There's no lying in this space, right? No pretending. Let's deal with the real stuff because otherwise then you're wasting your time and you're wasting your money and you're wasting my time.
And everyone else in the group's time. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And how about your individual work and your couples work? Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah. Individuals. I work a lot more with sex addicts at this point, just because I guess of what I do, but I do deal with work with some partners as well, which is helpful. And couples, right. And some of them want to do Minwala. Some of them want to do Urkham, right? Some of them, they do Gottman's, right? So it depends on what it is that they are interested in focusing in on. But I tend to blend things.
Yeah.
So it's whatever's coming up that might be helpful, then I go there, you know, with them, you know, to really be able to deal with that. For the partners, it's mostly about boundaries, right?
Okay.
It's about boundaries. It's about safety,
right.
Stability, normalizing some of the behaviors that are there, you know, like checking out the other person on Facebook, right? Normalizing that makes sense, right?
Sure.
Or the constant asking of questions over and over again. And, you know, it doesn't seem like they can refrain from doing that. That's normal, right? Those are normal behaviors.
Right.
You know, when you talk about the couple, well, what exactly is the vision for the coupleship? Right. What is it that you really want? Because both parties have to buy into that. And so to that end, I usually have them, you know, fill out a conflict agreement and then also a rights agreement. We need to have some ground rules. We need to know exactly what we can expect here because abuse on either side is not acceptable. You know, so want to make sure that it's a safe space, because if it's not safe for him, he's not going to show up authentically. If it's not safe for her, she's going to hold back. And then, you know, she's not going to be able to start to heal. She's not going to feel comfortable with that. And so it's really trying to find that balance of what is going to be safe for the coupleship, right?
Right.
Because if it's safe for the coupleship, it's usually safe for both individuals.
Right.
Right. But we need to have that agreement where we're on the same page, because he might be on this page and she's on this page. And it's like, okay, the two shall never meet, you know. So
sure.
There has to be a ground where we're meeting.
Yeah, they have to be aiming at the same thing. Yeah, wanting the same thing. Yeah, that's great. Well, Michelle, as we think about closing here, I'm going to ask you to give sort of two final words. So first to a man out there who's thinking, man, I want to do that, but I've tried before. I don't know if I'll ever be able to be a person of integrity. What would you say to him?
I would say, as a man thinketh, so is he. Right. Ooh. If you don't believe that you can, then you won't. Okay. It really goes back to what we talked about before. Energy, right? We're either on that negative spectrum or we're on that positive spectrum. Whatever we give out, we're going to attract to us. So we're giving it out, but we are also magnets because we're going to bring it in because it's on that same frequency. Okay. So if you want to be, then start to say, yeah, I can be, I will be, I'm going to be. Okay. And then maybe start to resonate with that
today. Like just today, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this evening. I'm going to be a man of integrity, right? Mm-hmm. One little step at a time. Okay. And then how about this? Let's say we've got a betrayed partner out there and she's thinking, you know, I've started to see my husband change a little bit. Some of these things they're talking about, these values and all that, I'm kind of seeing him do that. I don't know if I can bring myself to believe it. What might you say to her?
Well, I understand definitely how challenging that is. You know, I'm not one to believe it because of what happened before, you know, but suppose it is. Right? Suppose it is. Why not invest the energy in believing that it is? Right? So this way you can attract more because he's going to pick up on that vibration, right? And that's going to actually inform him. She's starting to believe me. She's starting to trust in me. It's going to encourage him to be even more deliberate, to be even more committed. Okay? Because nobody responds well under just pure negativity. It doesn't happen. Okay. Right. So if we want something to change by beating the person down with negativity, it's not going to give the result that you're looking for. Okay. We respond better when it's positive, right? When it's encouraging, when it's supportive. You know, I know that that's how it worked for me when I was in school, right? When a teacher said, okay, you know, you can really do this. But the one that was hitting my knuckles, I didn't learn much in their class. You know, yes. I learned to be fearful. I didn't want to get hit. So please don't call on me. Right. But if the person is actually, they see the potential in you. Right. And then they're actually giving you that benefit of the doubt. It can go such a long way to encouraging him to keep going. It can be a motivating factor, you know, and if you're seeing it, if you're seeing it and your body is actually telling you that it's sincere, then why not believe it? You're not going against. You're not going against the message that you're getting inside your body. It'll be different if you were getting a different message. But if it is in line with, if it's congruent to, then why not?
Yeah, that is so beautifully said. And I would just, you know, add to that. Again, it can be a small step, right? It's not an all or nothing. It's not, okay, now suddenly you let go of all your boundaries and all that. No. It's, I think what I hear you saying is you just acknowledge that you see a change.
Yeah.
And that it's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like what I'm seeing.
Exactly.
It could be that. I've had partners say something that small.
Yes.
But it is so significant.
Yes.
To the one in recovery trying to make these changes.
Yes.
Yeah. I see you're changing and I like what I see. Wow.
Powerful.
It is. It's super powerful. Super, super powerful. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for your knowledge and your passion for these folks. And I really appreciate you and you coming on and being with us. Yes.
Well, I am so thankful to be here and for the opportunity to share on your show.
And let folks know, how could they contact you? What would be your top way for them to get you?
Visit my website at bexpasta.com or Michelle at bexpasta.com. You can send me an email.
And all of those links and contact information will also be down below the episode here. So check those out, everybody. Michelle, thank you again. It's great to be with you. Take care.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS. If you've received help or hope from this episode, I encourage you to share it with someone you know. If you've not yet done so, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Jake Porter, and you can always email me directly at jake@appsats.org. I'd love to hear your ideas, questions, or comments about the show. Until next time, keep choosing to use your voice and live your values. It's good for you and for this world.